Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, November 9th, 2025, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. We know that the ones whom He, God the Father, foreknew, step one, in the five steps to glory, He, God the Father, also predestined, step two, to become conformed to the appearance of His Son. And then we have that He might be the firstborn, that He, the Son, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is a very fantastic and powerful verse there. We have eis ta plus the present active infinitive of the to be verb a me plus the accusative singular of autos plus the accusative singular of prototakos plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative plural of the adjective polus modifying the dative plural of the noun adelphos. So we start out with eis ta plus the infinitive. Now, you know what you like about this? It looks that way in the Greek and in the English. E-I-S-T-O, eis ta. Eis ta plus the infinitive introduces a purpose clause, and it should be translated for the purpose that, or in order that. And then we have autos. That's A-U-T-O-S, autos. And autos functions as the third person personal pronoun. And therefore, it's correctly translated He. And you say, who is He? And that's Hebrew right there. Who is he? He is she, and me is who. But we're not in Hebrew. We're in Greek. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. Yes. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. So autos refers to He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the to be verb a me. So corrected translation: for the purpose that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be, and here we have it, prototakos. He might be prototakos. There you go. P-R, long O, that's omega, T, short O, omicron, T-O-K-O-S. Prototakos. For the purpose that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be prototakos. Okay, what does that mean? One, Literally, prototokos means firstborn. Literally, it means firstborn. Two, figuratively, prototokos refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the firstborn of a new humanity which is to be glorified as its exalted Lord is glorified. Prototokos refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the firstborn of a new humanity which is to be glorified as its exalted Lord is glorified. Jesus Christ is the firstborn. Three, what does that include? Being the firstborn connotes three things. Three things. Rulership, priesthood, and a double portion. So, for the purpose that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be prototokos, the firstborn. And the firstborn connotes three things: rulership, priesthood, double portion. Point four, the first thing. The first thing, firstborn connotes rulership. Connotes rulership. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler of the church universal, the royal family of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler of the church, the royal family of God in the church age. Five, the second thing, firstborn connotes priesthood. Firstborn connotes priesthood. The Lord Jesus Christ is ordained a royal priest forever and after the order of Melchizedek. That's very important. You're not sure how to spell Melchizedek? Okay. Well, you can just call him Mel. That's Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was a, what was he? He was a king priest, Melchizedek. So, the Lord Jesus Christ is ordained a royal priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, that's transliteration from two Hebrew words. We have Melech. That's M-E-L-E-K. That's the Hebrew word king. And then we have tzedek. T-S-E-D-E. That's a Q, but the transliterator brought it over K. And this is priest. King, priest. So he is ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ is ordained a royal priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the king priest. Third thing, point six, third thing. Firstborn connotes a double portion. Connotes a double portion. Portion. Israel, Christ has two kingdoms of believers. Christ has two kingdoms of believers. Israel, whom he rules as the son of David, and the church, whom he rules as the King of Kings. So Christ has two kingdoms. Two kingdoms of believers. Israel, whom he rules as the son of David, and the church, whom he rules as the King of Kings. 7. In our verse, the spotlight is on the Lord Jesus Christ's rulership of the church, the royal family of God. In this verse, the spotlight is on the Lord Jesus Christ's rulership of the church as the royal family of God. Eight, the Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn en polois adelphois. That's among many brethren. En polois adelphois. I'll even put that up there for you. There you got it. That's the preposition en. Here it means among. And this is the dative plural of polus. Polus is many. And this is the dative plural of adelphos, brethren. En polois adelphois, among many brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn, en polois adelphois, among many brethren. 9. The Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the royal family of God. The firstborn of the royal family of God. Therefore, he is our ruler, he is our high priest, as well as possessing the double portion heritage. The Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn, prototokos, of the royal family of God. And therefore he is our ruler, our high priest, as well as possessing the double portion. 10. The many brethren. Well, that's you and me. The many brethren are church age believers, royal family of God, from Pentecost to the rapture, in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. The many brethren are church age believers, royal family of God. 11. All of this is designed to read the church age believer into the big picture and to understand how the divine decrees relate to the plan of God. All of this is designed to read the church age believer into the big picture to understand how the divine decrees relate to the plan of God. So, the corrected translation, we know that the ones whom he, God the Father, foreknew, step one, he also predestined, step two, to become conformed to the appearance of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the purpose that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So chronologically, there is an order. Chronologically, there is an order. First, you have the omniscience of God, which we have studied that in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, but you have to know God to love God. And part of that knowing God is the omniscience of God. Omniscience knows all the realities, knows all the alternatives, and all of iffy history, but that's, this is first, but only the realities are entered into the divine decree. Only the realities are entered into the divine decree. And then, from the divine decree comes the printout. And that is foreknowledge. Foreknowledge simply acknowledges or knows what is in the divine decree. So the principle is this: nothing can be foreknown until it is first decreed. Nothing can be foreknown until it is first decreed. Okay. Well, we studied the doctrine of predestination. Now we need to study the doctrine of the divine decree. This is the divine decree. This isn't Pastor Olson's decree. That would be about two words. The doctrine of the divine decree. Point one, definition and description. Definition and description. Subpoint one, the decrees of God are His eternal and immutable will. The decrees of God are His eternal and immutable will regarding the future existence of all events which will happen in time, and the precise manner and order of their occurrence. The decrees of God are His eternal and immutable will regarding the future existence of all events which will happen in time, and the precise manner and order of their occurrence. Got it? Two. By decrees is meant the eternal plan. The eternal plan by which God has rendered certain, absolutely certain, all of the events of the universe. Angelic history, human history, past, present, and future. So by decrees is meant the eternal plan by which God has rendered absolutely certain all of the events of the universe. Angelic history, human history, past, present, and future. Three. The decrees of God are His chosen and adopted plan. Adopted plan of God for all of His works. Now there is the Presbyterian Shorter Catechism. You don't have to get this down, but I'll give you the Presbyterian Shorter Catechism, which says the decrees of God are His eternal purpose according to the counsels of His own will, whereby His own glory, for His own glory, He has ordained whatever comes to pass. That's the Presbyterian Shorter Catechism. You don't have to get that down for a point. Subpoint four. The decrees are the all-inclusive will and purpose of God. The decrees are the all-inclusive will and purpose of God concerning all that ever was, concerning all that ever was or will be, which originates wholly within Himself, i.e., His omniscience. The decrees are the all-inclusive will and purpose of God concerning all that ever was or will be, which originates wholly within Himself in His own essence, His omniscience specifically, and which He Himself alone must have objectively designed for His own glory. And which He Himself alone must have objectively designed for His own glory. Five, by accommodation to creatures of time and space, even to the falling of the sparrow, all decrees were simultaneous, not given by stages, simultaneous. These things happened instantaneous in God's function and thinking. However, because of the finite mental limitations of man, we must perceive them by logical, chronological progression. Our human mind, when thinking properly, and that's a question today, the human mind, when thinking properly, thinks according to logic and chronology. But in God's thinking, this was instantaneous, simultaneous, not given by stages. So by accommodation to creatures of time and space, even to that falling of the sparrow, all decrees were simultaneous, not given by stages. Six, all decrees are efficacious in that they determine all that ever was, all that is, and all that ever will be. All decrees are efficacious in that they determine all that ever was, all that is, and all that ever will be. Now we're in point one. That's the first six subpoints of number one. Number seven is there are five characteristics of the decree. And that's where we're going to start next week with subpoint seven. There are five characteristics of the decree, all right? With our heads bowed. Father, we thank You, sir, for who and what You are, for Your amazing grace. We thank You for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with You through the study of Your Word. And we ask that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our own lives. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.